Well, hello and welcome to the show. My name is Mike and I'm here with my brother Dan.
Hello.
And we are talking television. Continuing with West Wing in the middle of season one. Come with us, see if we can pull some big ideas off the small screen. This is Rerun Retrospect. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the show, where we're, again, continuing our watch through the West Wing. I've seen it all the way through, all the seasons, all the way to the finale. Dan has never. This is his first watch through. So we're kind of it's kind of interesting, our kind of different takes on it. We always kind of have different takes, if we're honest, Dan, right? I mean, it's not like you and I line up on a lot of stuff. In a loving way, we like to butt heads, but it's been a good time so far. This particular episode is season one. Episode 14 is titled Take This Sabbath Day. It aired on February 9th, 2000. It was directed by Thomas Schlamme, who was one of the big, you know, main creators here on the show with Aaron Sorkin. It was written by Aaron Sorkin, Lawrence O'Donnell, and Paul Redford, and stars the amazing cast of The West Wing. To kind of bring a method to the madness of a show, we do break it up into segments. The first segment on today's show is State of the Union, and that's where we try and give you some context for what was going on in the world with on the day that this aired, as well as a synopsis of the episode that we're going to be talking about. So, you know, Dan, I was just kind of looking around and, you know, right around 2000 is kind of an interesting time for the whole dot-com boom thing that was going on. So on the Daily, I'm going to say it wrong because I don't normally read this, on the New York Post, one of the headlines on the New York Post was a new internet billionaire was minted. Okay, this guy's name was Scott Blum. Have you heard that name before?
Don't think so.
No, I was not familiar either. On this day, he found out that the previous day, his business, buy.com, B-U-Y.com. Do you remember that website at all?
It was B-Y, not B-U-Y?
No, B-U-Y. Did I say B-Y?
I think you said B-Y.
I don't know. You don't ever pay attention when I'm talking anyway. So
I'm pretty sure. I zoned out for that one letter.
Well, we have video evidence. So I'm sure I'll be found out. But it was BUY.com. Obviously, it's got to be some kind of internet retailer. I don't remember the website at all. But this thing became publicly traded. Oh, it says here, the 34-year-old founder of Buy.com saw his stake in the company soar to $1.56 billion. On the day of its initial public offering. So that just kind of blows me away that that was happening in the economy for something that here, you know, granted, it's been a long time since 2000, but I mean, well within my lifetime, and I just don't remember it whatsoever. I mean, how many of these stories are around this time of these people becoming immensely rich off of something that just had no staying power?
Yeah, we don't even remember it. So, but that was before the big bust too. So there were a lot of companies that came around and just totally flared out, right?
Yeah, this was probably the beginning of the dot-com bubble, or maybe it was right in the middle of the dot-com. I mean, I'm not an economist like Jed Bartlett, but so are you got anything for around this time?
Same thing. New York Post, FTC was probing Amazon over privacy rights. So that was back in 2000. So that's a trend that seems to be continuing on with Amazon, which has been mentioned in the show already.
Yeah, a few times.
I thought that was a good one to throw in there.
Well, Amazon has, especially with the pandemic and everything, Amazon's become so just absolutely pivotal the way people are doing life. And to think that of how it started, especially back then being an online bookstore and everything, it's been interesting. Okay, so to give you, that's what was happening in the world when the episode came out. I'm going to read straight off of the IMDb website. This is the storyline section. This was written by one of the users named Meebly. So Meebly usually does a great job. So again, reading right from their words, it says, a drug dealer's appeal of the federal death penalty is rejected by the Supreme Court, which upholds the death sentence with execution scheduled for the following Monday. One of the defense lawyers on the case is Sam's old high school bully, and he appeals directly to Sam to involve the president. At any point when you were watching this, did you think he was going to like threaten to, you know, because they kind of made a big deal out of this being a bully, and then really it had nothing to do with the storyline.
Yeah, all he said was, I used to beat him up in high school, and then that was
it. So whatever. All right, so continuing on, it says, during a weekend in which he was supposed to be in a yacht race, Sam opts to stay at the White House and try to convince his fellow staffers and ultimately Bartlett that the president should commute the sentence. Meanwhile, Josh, after a night of heavy drinking at a bachelor party, meets congressional campaign manager Joey Lucas while he is hungover. She assails him for having the DNC cut off funding for her candidate, but the decision was deliberate, as the White House likes the conservative nutjob currently holding the California seat. Opinions on the death penalty are exchanged throughout the weekend, including those of Quaker Joey Lucas and Toby's rabbi, and Bartlett winds up calling both the Pope and his old parish priest from New Hampshire for counsel. So that's another great job, really, to kind of digging in. And that closes off our State of the Union segment. We'll move on to the filibuster. The filibuster is just where Dan and I kind of talk about what we liked and what we didn't like about the episode. And Dan, I'm going to get us started here. We always try and call out the stars that we recognize, you know, that are making like guest appearances. We had kind of two big ones in this one. So I kind of thought we'd start out
bully.
With that.
I might not have the second one. Let's talk about the bully.
Oh, really? Okay. So the bully, do you know what his name is?
No. I can picture him in a lot of films. He was in a one about, that was with Natalie Portman when she was a child. I can't remember the name of the film. Not surprising. But he's very recognizable. And I think he was even had pretty prominent roles well before The West Wing.
His name is Noah Emmerich. And I'll be honest, I didn't know his name. I had to look up to know his name. But he'll always be, for me, I will always remember him as Ed's, not Ed TV. It was the Truman Show. As Truman's best friend.
Oh, yeah. He's Truman's best friend. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So see, it's funny, I'm always like that. Once you give me a reference, I'm like, oh, yeah. He's the guy who brings the six-pack. He's in on the whole deal. He knows it's all fake for Truman. And yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's part of the most dramatic moments, you know, them in a six-pack and on the bridge when the dad shows up and all that kind of stuff. It's good. That's probably the most recognizable that I remember him from, but he is a face that you see a lot. The other was Joey Lucas. You know who Joey Lucas is played by?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not good with this stuff, so it's not that she's not an amazing actor. She did a good job in this, but right. I can't place her just off the top of my head.
Her name is Marley Matlin.
Okay, what were the other big roles that I might remember?
She was in Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Picket Fences, Children of a Lesser God, The West Wing. She's been a total, she did voices for Family Guy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. She was in Quantico. The point being is she's just been in a ton of different stuff. So that was always kind of, it's always kind of cool. It's amazing how many, even on these little smaller guest appearances, like the lawyer, you know, the bully that beat up Sam or whatever. I mean, these are people who went on to have very noticeable careers in Hollywood. Kind of cool stuff. So that was kind of awesome. I enjoyed seeing that. This episode, I felt like a lot of the previous episodes we've been watching have had multiple storylines going on at the same time. This one didn't have as much. This one we kind of locked into really two, maybe even three storylines. Before we get to the big one, which I feel the main push of the episode was definitely the president dealing with the death penalty and all that kind of stuff, have to really enjoy the Josh, you know, going to the bachelor party. All of that was just, I mean, I just felt like the Josh character kind of shined in this one. He was the main source of comedy through this episode, on an episode that was dealing with a very, very heavy subject. His interaction with Donna, his interaction with Joey Lucas and their meeting and everything was just really good. Really thought it was entertaining. What'd you think about the storyline?
Yeah, the Donna Josh story, I still go back to, I don't know why Donna's not in the opening credits. I really feel like you could take out either Mandy, and maybe this is another conversation. At this point, I feel like you could take out even Charlie and put Donna in the opening credits instead of those two characters. That's where I am right now.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah.
She was fun throughout the episode, dealing with Josh, warning him, you know, the why won't you listen to me, and then being the fixer when everything, you know, when she comes in on him, passed right. out on the floor there.
Her being her just being repulsed by how he smelled, what he had done, and everything was just, I was just kind of like, Yeah, people have looked at me that way too, Josh. I know what you're going through there, buddy. So anyway, I enjoyed that a lot. We got introduced to a new character, I guess we would say, with the whole Joey Lucas thing. That, you know, the kind of the obviously using a name that's a little ambiguous, and you know, we made the assumptions from the beginning that it was going to be a guy, and it turns out
they did that. They when I watched it the second time, because I've watched it twice, I haven't watched the episode past this, but they kind of alluded to that happening because they referenced a guy to Josh. Whose name was, I don't know, maybe it was Susan, but it was a guy character. If you probably didn't notice it going through, but they were talking about some other character and he makes the assumption that it's a woman and they're like, no, that's a guy. So then they reversed it with Joey. So.
Okay. Oh, is it like Leslie maybe? I think Leslie is one of those names that can't. I don't know any
maybe
man
it was
that's
Donna.
Been named
I don't
Susan.
Know. Well, that's the whole point, though, right? You don't know that many Joeys right. that are girls, so or women rather.
Sure. But you know, I thought that was enjoyable, and then also, you know, the Sam's interaction through this. I think the whole staff. You know, the whole staff. As they're kind of going through this and working through how they feel about everything, I thought Sam kind of shined here just with his, as passionate as he was. We make a lot about, you know, Sam kind of being a screw up and this one, we didn't really get so much about him being, you know, overly emotional and making the poor decision as much as just, and you know, this was something he was very, very passionate about and willing to fight for. I enjoyed the Sam character in this episode.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Sam in this episode, but it doesn't make up for the previous one so far.
Sure.
My view.
Sure. Well, we're still not giving him extra responsibilities or anything. He does kind of come off a little bit, you know, he's like, I'm going on a yacht race and no. He comes off a little, you know, like, I guess, I don't know, you know, it's hard to relate with you know, he's just so goofy, but he's going off to do these very exotic things. I don't picture him on a sailboat, you know, like just absolutely killing it, getting it done. He's so awkward that doing something that I would assume is athletic is just kind of weird.
Well, and he had that funny interaction where he was talking about his pager and cell phone and he decides to take them both. And then of course he comes back to get the call eventually from his former bully, I guess, which kind of is an endearing thing, like how much he does care about his work, even though he had it set that this weekend was his and he was going to go have some fun. And even with this big thing going on, he was just going to let Toby handle it. So,
yeah.
But what did you think about, when we say Sam wasn't a screw up, what'd you think about the Toby thing? Toby's all offended that Sam tells somebody that he goes to this big synagogue in Washington, D.C. Like that, like that's not something I would think that I could keep private. Like if you're appearing at a place with lots and lots of people right. and you're a, you know, high government employee, well, I think be common knowledge. I don't think Sam's like letting the cat out of the bag.
Right. I guess it's just the fact that it came from him. Yeah. The guy could have found the information out. Let's just not find it out from you. Like make him do the work to figure it out.
Yeah. But the guy can also influence what the person preaching is saying on that Sabbath day. So he's got some pull in the Jewish community, I would say, but anyway.
Well, that's true. It's true. I felt like it was a little inappropriate, but also, I mean, it's not like Toby's going to hold back from telling somebody what he thinks. And he does eventually just kind of let it go. I mean, he kind of pushes him on the beginning, like why in the world would you tell him that? But then once Sam comes up with his weird answer that I felt like it was the right thing to do at the time, which is kind of like this, not really an answer to anything. But then Toby kind of backs off. He doesn't make that big a deal of it afterward. Because they have bigger fish to fry. That might be a bad pun dealing with execution, but but anyway, yeah. I'm not proud. I'm not proud at all. All right, and then another reference, I'll say like a little pop culture reference, and we've seen Aaron Sorkin do this a couple times, but I don't know, are you familiar with The American President? Did you ever see the movie?
No, isn't he single? I think we talked about this before.
We did, you're right.
He's single, that's all I remember. single.
One of the big recurring points of conversation in The American President was how difficult it is to navigate DuPont Circle. And so it was kind of funny when Donna came back and was a little late. She talked about having a problem with DuPont Circle. So I kind of like it when he kind of takes those things and kind of melds them together. I enjoy that kind of stuff. Okay, just as a whole, the Joey Lucas character. I mean, this is kind of surprising. We were expecting a guy. Then you add to the fact that, you know, that she's deaf and having to talk through someone and reading lips and all that kind of stuff. What did you think about this character?
I thought that it was very transparent where they were going with it in the end. You know, when she does come back, she's leaving on the plane and Josh comes down and he's like, you. It's like, yeah, that's, I saw that coming. I'm not going to brag about it. I thought that was pretty obvious what they were doing there, especially when the administration made it so clear they didn't like the guy she was defending, right? Or she was pushing for to get more funds to from the DNC. So,
all right. So I'll play devil's advocate. What are they being obvious about? They're being obvious that she's going to be this political player, or obvious that because to me, what's obvious is they're trying to insert a romantic interest for Josh. Right. It got very flirty there at the end. Correct?
I guess. Does Josh need another?
Well, oh boy. I think, yeah. Well, everybody's Sam and Josh have two. They have two each, right? I guess adding a third one in. I mean, after all, we've talked over and over about how he's just this heartthrob. I mean, who knew that Joshua Lyman was just going to be this. You know, girls are screaming as he walks by the rope line and everything. Apparently women just can't be around this guy without being attracted to him. I would have never guessed it, but that's the case there. So, you know, it's something where you definitely get the feeling, especially using an actress like Marley Maitland. This is something that it just feels like we're not done there. This storyline's going to continue.
Yeah, but I felt like it was more. Like they mentioned Mendoza in this episode, like we need him on the court. She might become more like that type of character where it's just mentioned. Sure. I mean, wasn't she representing someone in California, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not even like she's in DC, right? She's out there campaigning. So see what happens.
It'll be interesting. Okay. I want to ask, as we kind of move into like the discussion of the big storyline, which is this, you know, this, federal execution that's going to go down and all that kind of stuff. There's an interaction between Toby and the president in the Oval Office, and Leo comes in, and this line kind of struck me as being rough. When Leo comes in, and you know, they're having a very tense interaction. Toby's really petitioning for Bartlett to consider commuting the sentence. Bartlett's, you know, kind of hesitant and really trying to work through it on his own. And Leo comes in and says, what's going on? And Bartlett says this. He goes, Toby went to school. I was like, ew, that I don't know why, but that just kind of felt like a grading statement that was, number one, trivialized the art, you know, this very, very heavy argument that's being made about the death penalty. And then two, it just felt like it was almost like this, you know, this Jewish kind of reference that just didn't feel right. I don't know. Maybe I'm being oversensitive or maybe, but that one, that line just didn't fit. That was a little cringy for me.
I didn't age well. saying, looking back on it, it's like, oof.
Yeah.
For a show that's so progressive, even watching it now, it still seems pretty progressive in most of its viewpoint to the arguments it's making. I don't know if argument's the right word, but just the points it's trying to emphasize. Yeah, but I'll say I probably didn't notice that just because I was probably going to just mispronounce the word or something like that. So,
right,
maybe me just being naive. I don't know. But now that you mention it, I do remember him referencing Toby, like he had some sort of realization he was going through. But that's something I'll bring up.
Like I said, I don't think it was horrendous or whatever. And I guess what it really felt like was somebody taking a heavy moment and trying to make it funny just to lighten it and not doing a very good job. You know, it's not, it's not like I was like, well, that's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. It just felt a little off. And I mean, I've been there. I've been trying to make something funny just because I felt awkward and made it worse. You know, we probably have audio proof of me doing it on the show here. But it was just one of those things. But as a whole, this whole storyline I thought was extremely intriguing. What were you thinking through this whole plot line dealing with the death penalty?
They really focused on the religious aspect of the two, mainly Toby and Bartlett, right? With Judaism and Catholicism being against the death penalty. Sam's against it, but it seems like he's always taking the like progressive view. The only person they really put up on there to counteract the opinion that maybe we shouldn't be putting people to death, period, is Charlie. And that's kind of a shining moment when he's in there, because he's the only one with experience of, you know, having someone taken away from him. And then while right now he's denied justice, he makes it clear to Bartlett, if there was justice, he would want to exact it on himself, which is kind of the whole you don't know until you experience it argument.
Right.
Which I personally am not a fan of. But I thought they did a good job of baiting you, thinking that he was going to say, you know, killing somebody doesn't make it right, or, you know, you don't do death, don't correct death with more death or something. They baited you to think he was going to say that. But really, he's like, no, I want to be the one who does it.
Yeah.
So the whole conversation there, yeah, it's interesting. And it's one of those things where I don't want to have to ever experience it and have to really deal with it. But as a political show, they pushed the more progressive narrative that death penalty is wrong, but also totally threw in, well, here's why someone would think it's right. Even CJ has that some with Mandy when she has that conversation where Mandy so brilliantly says, well, that's, you know, a valid argument or good justification or something, being totally that Mandy character, where CJ says, I don't have a problem with it until I have to say the person's mom's name or whatever. So yeah, they explored that with also Bartlett coming down and letting the guy being executed. He didn't sweep in at the last moment to stop it or use any of his influence or power
to have the happy ending.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I definitely think I felt the same kind of thing. I thought that, well, first off, I totally understand them bringing kind of the religious aspect, because when you're dealing with life and death, I think it's very hard to deal with a topic like life and death and not involve your specific belief system, whatever your worldview is. I think CJ's character, why are you shaking your head?
I totally disagree, but anyway, go ahead.
No, by all means.
Well, we can get into it later, but I mean, they're government officials supposed to be secular separation of church and state. They shouldn't. The law is the law. And if you don't like the law, make moves to change it. But they should be acting in a way that's sure. Not dictated by their personal religious beliefs. Right. That's just a way to look at it on one aspect, because I think whether you're religious or not, you can fall on either side of this argument. Like that's why it's a great television, because it's not, nothing's cut and dry about the conversation.
Sure. No, I mean, I feel like I would agree. I don't know that, but I also don't think that you can take the religious contemplation out of it. I mean, I think that because our beliefs are so ingrained in the definition of who we are, they're going to have an effect. Maybe they're not completely defining the decision. Right. We're not going to plant our flag and say, I'm making this decision because I'm Catholic and that overrides my responsibilities as the president. Not necessarily saying that, but as you work through it, 100% your personal beliefs are going to factor into how you contemplate there. You're right. It's compelling television because that makes things hard. Right. Bartlett is not disappointed in Charlie's response as much as he's disappointed that Charlie's response makes his decision harder, right? It would be great if he just had a bunch of people lining up saying, do this, do this, do this. But now he's got these conflicting voices that are saying, this is what I need. I've got 71%.
Bartlett will apparently just ask anybody too. Like, he's never met Joe and he's like, what do you think?
Yeah. Come sit down in the Oval Office. Have you ever had a tour?
And you know what? You should run for Congress.
Yes. You know, I hate that guy that you're representing, but you'd be awesome. Hey, how do you feel about me killing somebody tonight? it most definitely felt that way. CJ's interaction with Mandy, and I agree, Mandy is, if there's anybody that's an empty shirt in this episode, it is Mandy. But CJ, I almost feel like CJ represents the viewer in this, because the majority of us are, number one, not gonna have someone that we love killed in a way by whoever did it would be facing the death penalty. And we're also not gonna commit a crime that's going to, or have a loved one commit a crime and be considered for the death penalty. So I think a lot of the apathy that CJ exists about it is not that she doesn't have an opinion, it's that she doesn't get real worked up about it. That's like the normal viewer, right? And I thought that, you know, it wasn't until she had to become a part of the process. I have to go in and tell the president once this is done and the guy's dead, that she really started to have, it's funny because she's like, I can't get worked up about it, but she's literally teary eyed at the end, realizing that I have to go, that we killed this guy. I have to go tell the president. And I know that the mom's name is Sophia. You know, Mandy just kind of sitting there staring. I mean, I just look at her all the time and I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? I really wish CJ was having that conversation with Toby. I think that would have been much more interesting. It felt like we just had to get Mandy some airtime because she is in the main credits and, whatever. But you know, having Charlie's response to the president, and that's what we've talked about, the fact that this show is left-leaning and whatever your own political views are and all that kind of stuff. I will say this, though. I appreciate the fact that I feel like at the end of the episode, they are landing on a place where they're trying to say, we feel like the death penalty is wrong. That's the overarching story of the episode. You agree with me on that?
I think they do a good job of doing both sides in this one. I think there's other things that they're pretty transparent in what the writers are maybe trying to influence public opinion. I don't know. That's another conversation we can have at the end of season one. But as far as some of the issues they've come down on, this seems to be the one that they try to do both sides pretty well, I thought.
That's the extension of that. I do feel like they come down at the end trying to say, this is what we've decided. But I feel like, And honestly, this is one of the things I think that the West Wing does. Everybody makes the assumption that it's just all one way, one way, one way. And without a doubt, I understand that it has a leaning, but they showed both sides of the argument. It was very much kind of presenting it and going, here, you know, what's your decision here? After hearing all this, this is where we've landed. Because I definitely feel that way. Bartlett is remorseful at the end that he's made the decision that he made. At least that's what I got from it. His desire to have confession with the priest at the end, to me, kind of, you know, makes this statement that he regrets having made the decision. You don't think so?
Maybe he just regrets having to be in the position, just accepting that he has to take on, in that point, he has to take on those sins just because of the office. Remember, they did the big scene where he has to be called Mr. President. And I thought that was well-written and a sobering way to present that. It wasn't arrogance. It wasn't someone with a PhD saying I have to be called doctor. And it's like, there's a lot of weight that comes with the decisions I have to make in here. And I need to remember, what do you say? I need to remember I'm the office and not the man at that moment. And that was good dialogue, I think, between the priest and Bartlett. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoyed it very much. I like it when entertainment, and I feel like the West Wing does this very, very well, when entertainment tries to be a catalyst for you to make your own decision, instead of them just trying really, really hard to force their opinion on you, as much as they come out and say, here are the two, you know, sides that are kind of warring at this. And then even if at the end they come to their own decision, I just feel like they did a great job showing kind of both sides and why this is a difficult and it's a hard issue. And I appreciate that. I mean, anytime entertainment's being the catalyst for you to have your own thought and work through it for yourself, I think that's when the medium's operating at its best, and I enjoyed it. Anything else for the filibuster?
Yeah, I'll be real quick with these because these are trivial things. How about Donna when she tells...
We need to lighten the mood. If you can lighten Josh, the mood at all.
when Donna tells Josh the appeal is denied, when he's changing into the freshly cleaned clothes, he's instant sober. And that's such a typical movie television thing to do, like to have someone who's drunk or hungover and like something dramatic happens and bam, they're fine and they're 100% okay. So that kind of made me laugh. Also, when Bartlett asks Joey, do you read lips? And she says, yes. And they have like three sentences where he's facing her. And then he goes into the Oval Office and it's like, this is the Oval Office. He's not facing her at all. And it just kind of made me laugh. I'm like, that's something you learn dealing with people who have disabilities, or even if it's like a translator, like a courtesy thing is you don't look at the translator. You always look at the person you're speaking to and let the translator handle the interaction between you. Or if you're speaking with someone who stutters, you don't interrupt. You always let them finish. Don't try to complete their sentences. That was just funny. Like Bartlett could have looked back at her and said, this is the Oval Office.
Right.
Just made me laugh a little bit. Cause they did say, you know, they did make it a point. Do you read lips? And at the end, that music, that's Lord of the Rings music right there. And I know this came out before Lord of the Rings, but I'm thinking I need to check on whoever wrote that music.
Well, this is where
very similar.
This is where we miss Sam, our brother, not Sam Seaborn, the screw up on the show. This is where we miss Sam because he's a composer and he could absolutely let us in on what the deal is. But I will say this, you know, I don't think the guy stole anything or whatever. I think it's just orchestral and
It might be some classical music that I'm just not aware of, but it just had that something I'm more aware of, Lord of the Rings. It just had that same sound where I was like, an elf could walk on the screen right now, and I would think it goes with the story. So
that's right, riding a white horse really fast. Sure. Okay, so that closes down the filibuster. Our next segment is the caucus. That's where each of us will give our vote for whether we like the episode or not. There are three options. We can say yay, we can say nay, or we can abstain. And so, Dan, I'm going to go first. And obviously, I think my exuberance there at the end, I enjoyed this episode. I think that there was plenty of comedy. I love the Donna-Josh interaction. I like
Toby knocking over the chairs. That was good.
Oh, just
good. Again, why everyone knows Toby goes to that synagogue.
It's true. Joey Lucas, I thought was a very interesting character. I mean, just, you know, you totally get taken. You're almost like Josh when she shows up. You're like, what's going on? This is kind of crazy. And then this, I like the fact that there weren't seven storylines. I like the fact that we really got everybody kind of was involved in this whole capital punishment thing, and that kind of glued everyone together, which I enjoyed. So anytime, again, they did a great job showing both sides. So I'm a yay. That's my vote. Nobody's really surprised at it. We know I've enjoyed this series so far. So Dan, where are you at with this? What say you, good sir?
I'm a nay. I can't decide if I dislike this one more than the Leo divorce or not. But yeah, I'm nay. I just right from the beginning where Leo's appalled to find out that we don't execute people on the Sabbath. And it just dealt with a lot of religion. And to me, in a secular government, those things coinciding. Because remember, Biden's only our second Catholic president. And a lot of that is because people didn't want the Pope to have influence over the president. And here you have it. And they address it with Toby. Toby's rabbi even says, you know, you don't want people to know that he contacted the Pope, right? And that kind of dragged on for the issue for me. And to be honest, I didn't like that interaction with Charlie. Even though it was good, it didn't make me feel good. And I understand it's better television, but it was like, oh, that makes me feel bad. So ultimately, this episode, I'll go nay. But I guess I dislike the Leo one more. The Leo divorce one more, but
okay.
All right, this one gets a nay vote for me. Just as far as the series goes, season one. This one, I put it in the can and move on to the next.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. All right, close this down. The caucus was moves us to our final segment, and that is called On the Record. On the Record is where, throughout the conversation, I've been attempting to insert quotes from the show into our normal conversation, and Dan's been trying to catch me. It's just a little game that we always play. I really enjoy good dialogue, and that's one of the things that we try and do with all of our shows. We always involve this game in some way, whether it's podcast or now doing the videos and everything. And so, Dan, I think I was able to get three in this one. This one, you know, again, this was one of those where the conversation was pretty intense. So I had to, I would catch myself and be like, oh, you haven't done a quote. And then I'd kind of have to shoehorn one in there. But were you able to catch any of them that I did in
just
this episode?
Just one, sadly.
Okay.
I got Empty Shirt. Where you said,
you know what? That's true. And I did say that in reference to the show. I didn't say it exactly as it's quoted. Because I think what Josh says there is your guy's an empty shirt. No, Bartlett says it to Joey Lucas in the Oval Office. He said,
but he says empty shirt, and that's pretty clear. Even though, yes, if you didn't get the full sentence in,
that's true. No, I agree with you. That probably was a reference. I wasn't even counting this one. I was able to say, I can't remember, but it's certainly not out of the question. Which I thought was pretty funny. Josh says that to Donna because, you know, they have that whole interaction before the bachelor party where it's like, oh no, we're not going to a strip club. No, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, when Donna asks him about it afterward, he's like, I can't really. Yeah. Yeah. And then Leo's line, once he realizes why they were waiting till Monday to do the execution, he says, well, that's about the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. I just thought that line landed very heavy because I wasn't putting it together. I just assumed it was some, you know, they had to do some paperwork or it's when, you know, it's what normally happens.
That's probably why I voted nay too. I feel like Leo's not privy to this. He doesn't understand that there are laws with religious background that don't necessarily make sense when you take religion out of them, like Sunday laws for liquor sales and things like that. Like, sure. Of course. Leo, you should know this.
Well, I mean, Leo's, you know, he's like an Irish, you know, guy from Chicago. They're buying liquor whenever they want to, whether it's legal or not.
That could be true. Could be fair. Fair point.
So, and then the other one I got in here, which I just thought was a very good line. The priest at the end, when he tells that little story, which really almost comes off like it's a joke or whatever.
Well, no, but I remember that story. I remember hearing it in a sermon, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, he makes a good point at the end where he says, I brought you a rabbi, a priest, and a Quaker. Is that right? The quote?
No, it's what the hell are you doing here? So effectively, it's how God responds to the guy when the guy's like,
religious, I pray, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, and of course, that was an easy quote to get in because I used it in reference to Mandy, which is just easy for me. So, okay. So anything else? Other things that I thought, you know, I wanted to say, you have a very sensitive system, because I thought that was just, again, that whole Josh and Donna stuff at the beginning was just really funny. And I mean, there was a lot of pretty quotable things. I mean, you think about Charlie. I think Charlie's line lands really, really heavy when he says that about his mom, because he says it so matter-of-factly. He doesn't even say it like with remorse. He doesn't say it like I'm embarrassed. Having to think about it.
This is premeditated. He knows.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just thought that made it, you know, it just made it extremely interesting. So anyway, I wouldn't have guessed that you didn't like this one, but I can understand your arguments and how you're feeling there. So
thinking as a series as a whole, I got to throw a nay out there on this one. So
right. You just don't want to be like me, who's just unabashedly going to love everything. And it hurts my heart every time I have to abstain from one. So, but whatever. All right, so thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you enjoy this. Our next episode will be specific to the next episode of The West Wing. So if you're able to watch us, get some context before we put this out, then love for you to join us. And would love for you to continue watching with us this series that I love. And Dan is, you know, sometimes he loves, sometimes he doesn't. Either way, we're having a lot of fun. Come along with us as we continue to prove that hindsight's not always 2020. This has been Rerun Retrospect.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Rerun Retrospect. If you'd like to connect with us, you may email us at rerunretrospect@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at @rerunretrospect. We hope you'll join us for our next episode where we keep pulling big ideas off the small screen.